Terry Savage, the syndicated financial columnist who joins us on Wednesdays. Happy holidays, Terry Savage.
Indeed, happy holidays, and the stock market likes it, and so that we should just quit right there. Dow is up over 500 points, and consumer confidence just reported out today, up dramatically, and who are we to bring the mood down?
Me. For instance, the news has not been so good the last few days, and the market has taken a dip. Do we read much into a 500-point upswing today?
You know, I do remember the days when you would have been on the phone to me. Can we get you on? Can we get you right on? The market's up 500 or down 500.
Yeah.
Today it's like, ho-hum.
I know.
It was up some, down some, you know. So I don't think what triggered today's market increase, allegedly, according to the pros, is the fact that Nike came in with far better than expected earnings. That's sneakers. So we might be entering into a new cycle for consumers, and that's hit a positive note on all retail stocks plus consumer confidence. Let me give you the on the one hand, and on the other hand, we got this consumer confidence note today, the report being that consumer confidence jumped to 108.3. up, that's up a lot from 101.4 in November, and it was even lower than that in October. And the highest it's ever been back before the pandemic was around close to 140, to give you an idea. And in 2008, during the, you know, the financial collapse, consumer confidence got down under 40. So we're now at 108. So that means consumers have a very positive outlook for their own conditions. They say that they expect plentiful jobs in the job market. They are more optimistic about inflation falling, partly because of gasoline prices. Mortgage rates have backed off a bit, the 30-year today. I'm looking at Bankrate. The national average is 6.6%. It was well over 7% 6 weeks ago, despite the Fed raising rates. And you could get a 30-year fixed rate for well under 6.5% if you shop around. So consumers are feeling a little bit better about how inflation impacts them. In the one sense, they pay less for gas. Gas prices, oil prices are down a lot. They hope everybody refinanced around 3%, but now you could refinance at over 6%, not 7%. And they don't see inflation so much, so it's a very happy days are here again. However, I did post a column that I wrote a couple of weeks ago and forgot to post called The Credit Card Trap. Because we've also mentioned that credit card debt now totals nearly $1 trillion, will jump past $1 trillion over the holiday season, up 15% from a year ago, the largest percentage jump in 20 years. So the bottom line is consumers are charging their optimism, which they get from looking at the stock market and gasoline prices and the Fed seeming to be in control. They're charging their optimism on their credit cards. And I know we're going to talk in January or February about, quote, the mountain of debt, rising delinquencies, even if the economy doesn't go into recession, which the Fed seems determined eventually to push us into it. So look ahead and don't get buried in debt. Watch that last minute shopping.
The recession that's coming is the natural outgrowth of what the Fed is doing. That is, they want a recession. Is that right?
They feel they need a recession and hope it will be mild, but they're fighting this tide of consumer optimism because there's still money left in the system that they haven't sucked out yet. The higher rates haven't impacted everybody yet, because if you're not shopping for a mortgage, then you don't see it directly. You might see it when your credit card balances go up from, you know, 21.9%, the charge, by next spring, maybe 28% or something like that, once they know they have you hooked. But the higher interest rates so far have only impacted consumers who find housing unaffordable, or the people who own a house would have liked to have sold and traded to a different house, but go, oh my gosh, we've got a 3% mortgage. We can't sell. How can we replace that? It will double the cost. So while things may have slowed a bit, consumers have not yet directly felt the impact of businesses cutting back on plans to expand, of businesses looking ahead and worried about consumer sales next year, so cutting back on employment and jobs. Consumers are having this very sweet moment, still plenty of money, still credit available on their credit cards, and still not being slapped in the face with what the Fed's done. That will come later.
Hooray. We're talking to Terry Savage on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Visit terrysavage.com for articles, updates, and helpful links. Anything you want to say before we take some calls and read some texts?
Let's take some calls. The stock market is never easy to figure out. That's why we don't sit here saying, well, this means it's the bottom or this means it's the top. I hope all of you are just saying, it's the end of the year. In January, I'm going to get my statement in about January 10th or 15th. If it's an IRA and you're over 72, which might change, by the way, Congress is debating a bill right now that could raise the age gradually to 75 for RMDs. But for everybody who's over 72, collect your December IRA statements. You may have three or four of them or an old 401k, and put the balance, keep them, clip them together, add up the balances, and then you can go to your website of any major firm. Just check Google RMD calculator. You'll put in your age and the amount of your balance total at the end of the year, and you will know your RMD number that you can start taking in January, take it monthly, and wait till the end of the year. So that's a reason you're going to watch what your account is worth, because that's next year's RMD. You've already taken this year's, I hope. And other than that, if you're properly allocated, the last few months have been proof that you cannot decide when to get out, when to get in, when to get out again. That'll cost you a lot of money and a lot of heartache.
Let's talk to Rob first, then. You're on WGN. Hi, Rob. What can we do for you?
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I had a question regarding, I did pretty well on a property sale, and I've got a six-figure sum that I'm looking to invest, and I'm wondering if, given that the S&P 500 is down, if it would be a good idea just to pump it all into the S&P 500 and then wait 5 or 8 years. And it seems to me that everything I've read, that's a better move than trying to play individual stocks. So I wasn't sure if that was a wise move or not a wise move.
Rob, that's like calling the doctor and saying, my temperature's up by about 2 or 3 degrees and I have a sore throat, prescribe something. I don't know what your whole situation is. Number one, my first thought when I heard you had a nice gain is remember to offset any expenses you had with that property and remember to save some money for taxes on the sale, maybe capital gains if you held the asset for more than a year. Second of all, I don't know if you have money put away in a retirement account, but if you do, you have until April 15th, I think it's the 16th or whatever it is next year, to open an IRA. And inside of that, if you don't have any other retirement accounts, you can make both a contribution for 2022 up until tax return due date and one for 2023, not knowing what else you have. The S&P 500 stock index fund would be a good place to put it. But that's all part of a big picture. And you may be at the point, not knowing your age, your retirement plans, your other assets and other savings, where you need to speak with someone who is a fee-only, fiduciary, certified financial planner you can trust. I have nothing to do with this company at all, except that I know the founder of WealthRamp.com. Pam Kruger and I do a podcast together. There's a link at my website. And she is as upset as I have been about the kind of advice people get, where these quote advisors sell you things with commissions or that might not be appropriate, and they all want to make money off you as opposed to helping you make money. So she created WealthRamp.com. It's like Match.com for financial advisors that she has carefully vetted. So I suggest that with a sudden burst of money like this, you have issues about financial planning and taxes, just go to WealthRamp.com.
But it doesn't sound like, it sounds like you can afford to lose this money, Rob.
You never want to lose money, but I can tell you that I'm maxed out in my 401k contribution, so I'm already at a catch-up max out. So the 401k isn't going to work. So I've got to park the money someplace,
okay,
and the someplace isn't in the bank. So I need to.
Well, no, it's not. Okay, Rob, let me just say this to you. Two quick things to think about. You've just given me one alternative. I'll give you two quick more. Treasury bills 6 months are still paying close to 4.7%. Or let me ask you this question. You did so well on real estate. You now have cash, which you could put for a few months at 4.7%, therefore. And if there's a recession, the same kind of property that you bought and sold successfully because the real estate market was a high, you might find, you're so good at this, I mean, it's not my game, but yours, you might find a piece of property that you can buy and only buy because you have cash. And maybe you want to think about, how'd you get here? How were you so successful? Gosh, I have good instincts about real estate, whatever it was.
I've been looking at that. The problem is the market is still way overheated. So the scenario where I did this is not, you know, it's not conducive. But I was going to ask you about those treasury bills because that is kind of a good, I wasn't sure if there was a cap on how much
there
you could
invest in that. There is no cap on treasury bills. There's an auction every Monday. And if you go to terrysavage.com, there's a big box down on the right saying financial links. Underneath it are a bunch of little boxes. One of those says how to buy treasury bills. Click on that. You could start with $100, but you could put millions in there and
how much are they
stagger
paying?
The purchases.
How much are those paying right
they
now?
They are currently paying just under 4.7%.
Well, if that money's in the fact, bank, you're getting zero. You're getting like 0.5%.
Exactly.
So, why didn't you tell him to just put the money in one of those things?
Because I want to do what's appropriate. I gave him three choices. Okay, stocks, but you've got a 401k that probably has stocks in it. Okay, keep it safe for a while because maybe you want to go back into real estate. And you don't have to leave it in the bank at 1.5%. You have to wait till maturity for those treasury bills for the money to come back into your account. But he said, gee, the market in my area of real estate is overheated. I'll earn about 4.7% for 6 months. And then either roll it over at whatever the rate is then.
Yeah, right.
Or have it drop back into your account and use it to buy another bargain. That's the art of money management is, if you're, I mean, way past financial planning and what's your retirement look like, the art of it is, okay, what's the least expensive, relatively speaking, asset class? And if I have cash, there's always going to be a bargain sometime in a recession.
Terry, real quick, a couple of questions here. Can you ask Terry if a treasury bill can be put in a trust?
Number one, yes, your revocable living trust, very easy. It uses your Social Security number. You don't have to give them any documentation, although they may ask for it, because you could also have a Treasury Direct account in your own name. But if you have a revocable living trust, buy your T-bills in the name of that trust, no big deal.
Could you ask Terry again, what's the instrument I can put several hundred thousand dollars in and get 4%?
Treasury bills, IOUs direct from the federal government. They are auctioned every Monday. You don't know in advance exactly what the rate will be, but usually it's very close to what it was trading at the Friday before that Monday morning. Lately, they've been trading at just about 4.7%, a couple of basis points beneath that this week, but you agree to accept whatever the average yield is set by the big global institutions that buy these IOUs from the federal government. You go to this website, you need your name, your address, your Social Security number, your bank routing number, that's all on your check.
Yeah.
And you could start with as little as 100, or you could put a few million extra dollars and buy treasury bills. The interest gets dropped back directly into your checking account.
Does it have to stay in for a limited amount of time? Or?
Well, you can buy 13-week, 3-month bills or 6-month bills. That's the short-term equivalent. And if you had so much money, you would buy 6-month bills with 25% of it this week, wait 2 weeks, and buy another 25% of your money in 6-month bills. That's called staggering them. They'll mature at different dates. When you buy, you can say, automatically reinvest these at whatever the rate is that happens to be at the auction when they mature. And then the interest will drop into your account and you'll have them for another 6 months. You change your mind, you're going to buy a house. If up to about a week or 10 days before
right.
to say, oops, don't, you go right online and say, no, don't roll them over. Just send them back to me at maturity, but not in between. So
that may answer this question. 773 says, hey, Terry, can you take your money out at any time if I put it in the treasury fund? It's 4.6%. Do I have to keep it in there for a certain amount of time?
It's not a fund. You are buying actual IOUs from the federal government. Treasury bills have maturities less than 2 years. Treasury notes 2 years to 10 years, and treasury bonds 30 years or more. So you are not buying a fund. You are not having that instant liquidity that you would have in a money market account at a mutual fund or a money market deposit account at a bank, but you are getting a much higher rate of interest, number one. And number two, you don't pay state income taxes on T-bill interest.
That's good to know.
All at terrysavage.com. On the big box on the right, financial links. Underneath it, some little boxes, how to buy treasury bills. All of that and a link to Treasury Direct are in there. And why haven't you heard them before? Because there's no brokerage commission in them. Nobody sells those to you. That's what we do here.
This is Mike for Terry Savage. You're on WGN. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Thank you guys so much for giving us the heads up on the T-bills. Terry, that's super. We really appreciate that. Just you don't hear that enough, I think. But my question is that if I've got a, let's say, an 8-week or a 13-week that matures, let's say, next week, can I transfer it to a 26-weeker, or do have to take the money in, and how would
No. You don't want to miss a week of earning interest. Mike, you have an account at treasurydirect.gov already?
Uh-huh.
Go sign in, and then click on My Holdings, and then you can click and say Adjust the Rollover, and you can automatically switch it to a 26-week bill.
Sounds simple enough. And you do not pay, do you pay federal income taxes on the...
Yeah, you do pay federal income taxes,
on the money that you earn on these. So
right,
the 4%,
and they'll send you a 1099 at the end of the year telling you how much you earned.
This is Barb. You're on WGN with Terry Savage. Hi, Barb.
Hi. I was wondering, my daughter, who is 30, sold her house and has $30,000 to invest. She has her own business, so she doesn't have anything through work. What would you suggest to put her in?
I would suggest she open a tax-deductible individual retirement account. She can do it now, or she has up until next April 15th. She should go to Fidelity or Vanguard or T. Rowe Price. They all have websites. And just say, I want to open an IRA. It's very easy. Or she could call on their toll-free numbers and open an individual retirement account. And she can put the money away for 2022, and she could put some more in for 2023.
Is there a max that she can put in?
$6,000.
$6,000. So she's got $30,000 to spend.
I think that might be going up next year. I'm just going to have to double check that. But IRA max contribution for 2023. Let me just check this, because as I can't quite remember. Yeah, it does go up to $6,500 for 2023. She's going to make one contribution of $6,000 for 2022, but she's got some extra money. She can put it in January or February for 2023.
So that gets her to $12,000. She's got $30,000.
That gets her $12,500, yep.
Okay, but now she's, what should she do with the other $18,000, say?
Part of that would be I'd have to sit down and talk with her. Yeah. Does she have children? Do you have grandchildren?
No.
Should she open a 529 college savings account?
No, she has none of that.
Okay. And is she thinking about buying a house or a condo? Does she need that for a down payment?
She's already done that.
Oh, great. Well, that doesn't mean that she can't open a regular investment account. And I would say, in addition to an IRA, she could. The question is, what funds do you put in your IRA? Probably the Standard & Poor 500 stock index fund. And she can open just a regular non-IRA account, and she could put in maybe $500 a month or $1,000 a month on the third of the month every year for the next 12 months and soak up some of the extra money.
Sounds like good advice, Barb. Good luck. Thanks for the call. How about you, Jeff? You're on WGN with Terry Savage. Hi, Jeff.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What's your question?
I applied for or signed up for the I-bond, and it's telling me there's something wrong with my account, my bank. I think it's my bank saying there's something wrong. Now, my wife and I are on the account, but I also have my son and daughter on the account as beneficiaries. Is that causing the problem?
You know what? There have been so many problems with people who are trying to add beneficiaries or who have... I'm sure that's what's causing the problem. So I'll tell you what, I now have a great contact. He's got some sleep and I got some sleep. So send me an email to terry@terrysavage.com. Everybody else with a question, just post it on my blog. But if you've got... send me an email with your... Did you get an account number from them in the first place?
Yes, I'm pretty sure I did, yes.
Okay, send me all that information and your phone number, and I'll forward it to them, and they'll work it. They'll have someone there. They've caught up now, so I'll have someone deal with that with you directly.
That's good to hear. Okay, Jeff, good luck to you. And one more question on the phone. Pam, you're on WGN. Hi, Pam.
Hi. I'm so glad to talk to you. I've come to your Thomas Jefferson and Teddy Roosevelt shows.
Hooray.
And love them.
Oh, thank you.
I live in Wisconsin. But anyway, my question is, I got a bill from the IRS for extra taxes due from 2021 and talked to the IRS people, and they couldn't adjust it on their half over the phone. They said I had to write a letter. It's in regard to using the Social Security benefit worksheet to reduce the amount of Social Security that's counted in your income. And now they told me I have to write a letter to the IRS. And I wondered if there was any other way to expedite this problem.
Okay, it's very difficult to expedite anything with the IRS. I must admit, like, while I can get to Treasury, I can't get to IRS. Second of all, I hate dealing with the IRS, so I have a wonderful accountant who deals with all those things. And even the accountant's firm say lately, that's really tough to get through. So I would suggest that you send that letter certified, keep a copy of it, and if you don't get satisfaction, an IRS account won't help you. But the IRS does have an ombudsman's office, okay, which is meaning they help you. It's the taxpayer rights advocate. And if you go to irs.gov and ask for you could just go to taxpayeradvocate.irs.gov. They are getting people are getting through to them now. They were tough to get through to as well. But I think www.taxpayeradvocate.irs.gov would be the way to go if you don't hear anything once you send that letter certified.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. Good luck to you, Pam, and happy holidays to you, Terry Savage. We'll visit after Christmas.
Absolutely. So we can do some New Year's resolutions, which I hate equally as the IRS.
That's Terry Savage, terrysavage.com. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks.
Speaking of my friends, more business news on the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. A former security chief of McDonald's claims racial discrimination was the reason he was fired. It stems from last year's remarks by the company's CEO, who said the killing of two black teenagers in Chicago was partially the result of their parents failing them. Michael Pister, who was McDonald's global security chief at the time, told fellow employees the CEO was wrong to blame the parents for gun violence. Pister, who is black, was terminated soon after. A McDonald's spokesman told Cranes that Pister was let go because of performance issues. Chicago's Stan's Donuts and Coffee has launched what it calls its most luxurious donut with the highest quality ingredients ever. The newest offering will be available until January 1st. It's based on the Lestan croissant donut, fried in high-end olive oil and filled with Italian custard with Marsala wine and orange zest. Owner Rich Labriola calls the citrus flavor and olive oil fried texture magical. Cranes reports this is a test run for the olive oil donut. If it does well, Stan's plans to offer one of them year-round. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Business of Food, Steve Alexander.
Thank you, and we're sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience your life in HD. Visit ChevyDrivesChicago.com. Here's Buck Owens.
Well, they're trying to make a living on the Mississippi River is a mighty hard life to live.
Yeah, it was extra hard in October with water so low that barge traffic wasn't getting through. Then it rained.
So the lower Mississippi is back open and running.
Mike Blasky is the GM of Illinois Marine Towing in Joliet.
So they've been able to go back to their quote-unquote normal size tows, but with some draft restrictions. So the barges still aren't being loaded as heavy as they could be, but they are moving the same volume of barges that they were prior to the low water.
Well, great, but if it isn't one thing, it's another. And you've probably heard it's about to turn very cold.
And so what's going to happen is it's going to create a bunch of ice. And low water, cold weather, ice forms quickly, and it's really going to hurt navigation. You know, we're going to keep pushing through until the ice gets thick enough that we can't.
He says the barges and tows can break through maybe 6 or 8 inches of ice, but
what happens is when it breaks up, it'll stack on top of itself and refreeze. So then you get those chunks of ice that are 1 foot or 2 foot thick that are floating down the river and create ice jams. And It makes it extremely difficult for towboats to get through.
The rest of the Midwest River system is facing problems, too. Brad Rippey is a meteorologist with the USDA.
As cold weather descends on the country, especially the northern part of the country over the next few days, that could help to cut inflow due to ice formation and frozen soils. So we will have to continue to watch low river levels north of Cairo, Illinois, where the Ohio River enters the Mississippi.
And by the way, Mike Blasky of Illinois Marine Towing says there are times when some commodities being moved up and down the river get priority. For example, Chicago area refineries will move to the front of the line to ship diesel, aviation fuel, and other essentials.
So those need to get here, and there are times that a refinery can put in a request to the Coast Guard and the Army Corps that will grant them priority lockage.
From the farm to your belly, today's National Date Nut Bread Day. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Karen Spears joins us now, an artist, a business person, and a former recipient of the Daniel Murphy Scholarship from the Daniel Murphy Scholarship Fund. Karen, you're on WGN Radio. How are you today?
Hi, John. Thanks for having me. I feel great. How are you?
I'm real good. By the way, I've seen your work. It's really terrific. Nice job.
Thank you so much.
We'll talk about that in a second. First, tell me what this scholarship is.
Yes. Yeah, so the Daniel Murphy Scholarship Fund exists to serve high school students. They're actually the largest high school scholarship organization in the city of Chicago, and their main mission is to offer underserved students in under-resourced communities with, you know, full-ride scholarships to the high school of their choice, whether it's a private school or boarding school. And back in 2009, long time ago, I was given the opportunity to attend Mother Macaulay High School, thanks to Daniel Murphy.
Is this for budding artists, or is it kids of any interest?
This is for kids in under-resourced neighborhoods in the city of Chicago who, you know, demonstrate academic potential and leadership skills early on in their educational career. And so I was a bright-eyed eighth grader and was selected to receive this scholarship.
I see. And a budding artist to boot. And then you are chosen to, help me out with this, design a mural on the side of a building that we see on the Kennedy, right?
Absolutely. So Daniel Murphy has been, you know, super involved in my personal and professional development, not just as a student going through eighth grade and going through high school, but their support after graduating in 2013 lasted so long. I've been, you know, it was involved in a lot of, you know, DMSF very, you know, big milestones, their 10th anniversary, their 20th anniversary, and now being able to celebrate this milestone of the Wintrust mural collaboration. They were donated. It was an in-kind donation from Wintrust, and they commissioned me, now an artist and a DMSF alum, to design the mural for them.
So if you're driving on the Kennedy, you'll see this side of a building. It's the gigantic canvas for you, I guess you would say. It's on display until the end of the year, and it's the city skyline with a broad rainbow stripes coming up from the city into the sky, stars all around. It says two possibilities, which I guess is really what this scholarship is all about, right?
Absolutely. So if you're driving along the Kennedy Expressway around North Avenue, this is actually the largest canvas of my career thus far. The painting or the mural is called Uplifting Tomorrow's Leaders. And we came up with that concept based on, you know, Daniel Murphy's ethos. And so a big part of my artistry is rooted in power quotes. So I'm actually a hand lettering artist. So a lot of my artistic style is rooted in neat handwriting. And so I always like to center my artwork around powerful quotes. And we chose Uplifting Tomorrow's Leaders as the title because it really sums up what Daniel Murphy is all about. They exist to, you know, spot potential really early on in our city's young people and invest in that talent early on.
Karen, I have just a few seconds left. If I hire you, what do you do then? What's your business? Let's give yourself a plug here.
Yes. So my business is Character Creative Studio. We are based on the south side of Chicago, and my goal is to create and build brands with personalities for established organizations who are looking to tell their story with a lot of character. So that's my business.
Character Creative Studios, right?
Correct.
And it's spelled K-A-R-E-R-A-C-T-E-R, character with a K, right?
That is correct.
Good luck to you. Nice work. Everybody on the Kennedy, if you're over by North Avenue, should I be going inbound or outbound?
You can see from both sides of the expressway.
Oh, that's terrific. Congratulations, and thanks for your time, Karen.
Thank you, John.